Next case, please.
The next application is 11,894 Joseph F. Donahoe and Cynthia C. Donahoe seek variances from the front yard setback, section 115-50D of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the south side of Bayside Drive, approximately 590 feet south of Oceanside Drive. The 911 address is 36899 Bayside Drive, Fenwick Island. The zoning district is HR2. The tax map is just 134, map 22, parcel 50. Specifically, they're requesting a 2-foot variance and a 1.6-foot variance. Received no letters of support, 2 mail returns, and we did receive 1 letter in opposition. Excuse me. And the letter of opposition is, on behalf of the C-Town Homeowners Association, please accept this as our formal objection to the request by the applicant for a variance to the side yard for the upper deck. As background, our Architectural Review Committee granted the application to the owner to replace decking with stairs with new material. The approval was granted in June 13, 2006, which was contingent on the owner, agreed that all work would be done to code within the applicable setbacks. The fact that the owner's contractor did not conform to the approval does not mitigate the owner's responsibility to correct the construction to bring it into compliance with the agreed parameters. To correct the deficiency and bring the areas into code is a simple construction task that is easily accomplished. And then they go through the 5 criteria. They go, there is nothing unique about the property as there are 3 cul-de-sacs in the community with all the residents meeting the code in those. A variance is not needed to enable reasonable use of the property because the deck, when modified to code, will allow the same. In fact, the applicant, through his contractor, created the nonconformity that the architectural guidelines of the community requires conformity of this critical issue. If 2 feet is allowed here, how can we all govern the next owner who wants 3 feet and so on once the house is out of code after Architectural Review Committee approval specifically referred to setbacks? The future ability to enforce the association is impossible. And then 2 feet is more than a minimum 1 and should not be granted. And they respectfully request the board deny the request and enforce the county setback code. This not only upholds the county law, but the architectural guidelines of C-Town, which are critical to protect the property values of all C-Town owners. And it is signed James Oswald, president of the board of directors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Sorry. My name is Kashif Chowdhury from Prokowski, Gurek & Swayze in Dover, Delaware. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Clay Jester, who is the seller of the subject property that was sold to Joseph and Cynthia Donahoe recently, pursuant to the contract documents Mr. Jester is required to bring forth the application. The Donahoes are present in the room as well today. The variance sought is for a second floor deck, which is encroaching into the front setback area by 2 feet at the northernmost corner of the deck and 1 foot 8 inches at the southernmost corner of the deck. There was a survey that was submitted along with the application, which superimposes thereon the building line and shows the corners that are affected by the building line, or the setback line, I'm sorry. Before going into the criteria, as a little bit of background on the property, in 2006, there was a deck improvement made where the deck was rebuilt. The foundation places were not changed, but when the deck was, while we're not certain that that's when the full encroachment, there may have been a pre-existing encroachment from the time Mr. Jester and his family acquired the property. But the deck did expand somewhat in 2006 when this improvement was done. It was unbeknownst to Mr. Jester. He'd contracted with a contractor to perform the work, and this encroachment has existed for approximately 10 and a half years without anyone really knowing of it or opposing it. It was discovered as part of the settlement process for the sale of the property recently, and that's what has brought us here. And Mr. Jester will address some of those matters here in a moment, but I just wanted to briefly go through the criteria and how it relates to this specific property. Start with the uniqueness of the property. The uniqueness is really demonstrated noticeably by the shape of the lot. It is an irregular shaped lot. As you can see from the survey that's attached to the application, it is bordered by both a cul-de-sac and a side road. To my knowledge, it is the only lot in the development that is bordered by both. And because of the winding nature of the cul-de-sac and the road, it creates some disharmony in the distances. And in effect, it's almost like it's got two front yards for purposes of measurement. In fact, the corner, as you can see from the survey, corner shows 28 feet 4 inches to the corner of the deck. But if you go over just slightly, the deck is actually 38 feet from the front setback line. So the anomaly in this is that you could actually have portions of this deck that you can build out as much as an additional 8 feet, yet the corners encroach because of the shape and the unique shape of the lot and the cul-de-sac that impact this. Likewise, if you look at the sides of the house, there's ample space to build on this that actually can build out further than where this corner would encroach. But because of the shape of the lot, it impacts the way it's measured, and that's what's caused the issue that presents itself here. So it is a unique lot. It is a unique line that causes some difficulty. It also makes it difficult in meeting the second, or in addressing the second factor, which is cannot be otherwise developed, in that the fix for this is not so simple because of the shape of this. And Mr. Jester has some photographs that he will go through and show that just chopping off a foot or two on the side of the deck is not as simple as it may seem because of the location of windows and the impact that it have otherwise on the deck. In fact, the way the deck is currently constituted, it's very similar to any other deck you would see in this community. In fact, it's demonstrated by the fact that this has gone 10 and a half years unnoticed to the naked eye. This is just like any other deck in the community, and it was only upon the survey at settlement that this came about. Again, it's due to the unique shape of this particular lot. As noted earlier, the problem was created when the improvement was made to the deck, or the replacement of the deck, and a contractor went out and performed the work. If you look at the survey again, you can see how a contractor could easily make a mistake in measuring from the deck out to the line because of the way it weaves and turns. So it is not difficult to make that mistake. And again, in the context of things, it's a very minor mistake. And I'd point out, because of the location of this home on the cul-de-sac facing this deck faces out towards the bay, there's really nobody that is affected by this. The view, and again, Mr. Jester will go through some photographs that he has based on his familiarity with the property. This does not affect anybody's view of the bay or otherwise. So this has no effect whatsoever to anyone in the community. And again, demonstrated by the fact that we've gone 10 and a half years without any issue being presented. The other element is, again, that it not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. As I mentioned, if you drive around the development, this deck is consistent to the naked eye with anything else that you would see in the development. There's been no complaints, and in fact, Mr. Jester has received nothing but praise for the deck over the years while him and his family have owned the residence. So it is consistent with what's already there. The variance that we're seeking is the minimum to correct the encroachment so as to make it compliant. And that's all I have. I'll have Mr. Jester, if you could confirm that everything I've stated is true and correct.
We will need you, even though your attorney will have to have you sworn in.
You need to step up forward, sir. Come on up. Please go up and be sworn in.
You state your name and address for the record.
My name is Clay Jester, and I live at 807 Quail Run, Wyoming, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. My pleasure. I was one of the owners of the property until recently. We sold the property in November to Mr. and Mrs. Donahue, who are here today. And we all found out the day before the settlement that this encroachment that was described to you existed. And we did the best we could to get this enable the settlement to go through and to try to resolve this this issue as soon as possible afterwards. And that's why we're here tonight. I was one of several owners. My two brothers, Michael and Richard, who are not here tonight, were also owners until recently. And my wife, Ann, Virginia Ann, was also an owner. She's not here this evening, here representing the family on this. To give a little bit of historical background, this property was initially owned by my father. He purchased it in 1984 to be a family vacation home. And my father died 4 years ago, and prior to that, he had gifted the property to my brothers and I. And it was always a place for our family to get together and to enjoy vacations and holidays, and it was a wonderful legacy. So with respect to the matters, you may be anxious to see these photographs that Mr. Chowdhury has described to you. There's four photographs here, which I think will illustrate the issue.
If I may approach to...
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I guess while that's going down, Mr. Jester, I just want to confirm you've heard the statements made by Mr. Chowdhury.
Yes.
You believe those to be true and correct?
Yes. Just a correction on the detail. It is the 2 foot discrepancy is on the south side of the property, and the 1 foot, and that's approximately 8 inches, is on the north side of the property. But other than that, I agree with everything. So
thank you.
I think you did an excellent job of summarizing the circumstances. Does anyone have a photograph now? Okay, so the first, our third number in the left-hand column here. So the first photograph, just pretty much a frontal view of the home. These were all taken today, by the way. So it's as current as we can get it. So to orient you, this is what we consider the front of the house. And if you're familiar with the area that they call the Narrows between Bethany Beach and Fenwick Island, for obvious reasons, it's not very far from the ocean to the bay. So Seatown is a beautiful little development that sits in that little strip there. And this particular home is on a cul-de-sac very close to the Little Last Woman Bay, and all three of those decks look out over the Little Last Woman Bay. It's a beautiful setting. So the deck at issue is the second deck. So you can see the top deck there and then the middle deck. So it's that middle deck. And I believe the part of the issue, you can see the beam running underneath of the deck there. And in 2006, we were very fortunate over the years to have Michael Fleetwood as a contractor. He's present tonight, and he did a lot of work on the house for us over many years, and always did a fantastic job. And we were really privileged to have his excellent services. At some point, my father talked to Mike Fleetwood about the deck, because the decking on it was salt treated lumber, and it all checked and split. And most of you have probably seen salt treated lumber when it gets 20 years old or so. It really wasn't safe, because you could pick up splinters in your feet, kids running and everything. So it was time to do something about it. And Mike also felt that the decks weren't properly tied to the house from a structural standpoint, connected to the structure of the home as they should have been. So it was what I would call major overhaul of the decks. We never started the project, as they we are our family at that time. We never started with the intention of increasing the size of the deck. It never crossed our mind. It wasn't why we did it. The railings that were put up by Mike when we replaced the other railings, they were a little bit closer together. We were concerned about children who could stick right through the head through the old railings and possibly fall. So the railings were brought up to code and made safer. All the decking was replaced. Mike replaced all the joists and moved them from 16-inch centers to 12-inch centers. And he also mentioned very late in the planning of the project, and that he said he could might be able to cantilever the edge to give us maybe 18 more inches or so of room. And he said that's great if you can do that and do it within the code. And that's what we communicated to the Homeowners Association. And by the way, in all the years our family's been in C-Town since 1984, we've always had a fantastic relationship with the Homeowners Association. My father was friends with many of the members. He passed 4 years ago, but he was down at the beach as often as he could get down there. And so, in any event, we proceeded with the project with the blessing of the C-Town Homeowners Association, and tried to fulfill it exactly as we had promised. Unfortunately, when the deck was completed, as we found out 10 plus years later, the day before settlement, on one edge of the deck, it was 2 feet too close to the cul-de-sac, and on the other edge of the deck, it was 1 foot 8 inches or so too close to the cul-de-sac. So that's the dilemma. It was never intentional. We always try to comply fully with all of the regulations of the development, and that's one of the things that has kept the development very nice, is that the Homeowners Association is effective, and the people that live there do try to abide by it.
Mr. Jester, based on the photographs, could you demonstrate whether the views are blocked by the encroachment from the deck to other neighboring owners?
When the decks were completed, we had praise from basically everybody that saw them. A lot of people come down to that in the neighborhood because there's a dock right in front of the subject house there. And so people in the neighborhood walk down there and they take their kids crabbing and so forth. And people knew we had the deck done because they saw the construction. And several people asked me for Mr. Fleetwood's name and phone number because they liked the way he did the work and kept the job site clean and so forth. But I don't believe I have no reason to believe that the deck ever interfered in any way with anybody's use and enjoyment of their property. Never had that indication. And I don't think that anybody on the Homeowners Association thinks that it does either. It's never been communicated to me. I don't think they've ever had a single complaint about anything from that house. So that's basically what the first photograph shows. It shows the house behind us, and their view is basically through our driveway. It sits back behind us a little bit, and that's really where their view of the Little Aspelman Bay is. The second photograph is just to give you an idea of how the cul-de-sac and the street come together there. So that's the side street that comes around our house and then turns into the cul-de-sac. So you can see the pretty severe turn that the cul-de-sac makes there. And so the trick is, and to stay 30 feet back from this cul-de-sac as it turns, and when you try to do that with a straight line, I'm sure it's not easy. And at the same time, with this side street, try to stay 30 feet back from that as well. And as Mr. Chowdhury pointed out, if you look at the survey, the first one on there that has the building setback line, it shows that it's about 38 feet from the cul-de-sac to the front corner on the north side from the cul-de-sac, but it's 28 feet 8 inches or so from the side street. So, and if you look at the plot, shows that there's room in the center to come out as much as 7 or 8 feet with more decking, but at the same time, it's that's relatively small discrepancy on the two corners. So there's a lot more area of decking in the front of the house that could be put in there. The trick would be to have it appear symmetrical and to have it appear attractive. So the third photograph is. I think again, it shows the side street and coming into the cul-de-sac there. And I think also it shows that it really not impacting the deck itself is not impacting anyone's view of the bay. Of course, the house would have a certain impact on any event. The other point I think Mr. Chowdhury made was a much larger house could be put on that lot. There's a lot of building area on the north side of that house that could be built, and we never attempted to enlarge it. There's a lot of room on the south side that could still be built, and further back in the way of additions to the home. So there's a lot of building area there that have not been utilized and never had any attention to. And the fourth photograph, again, it's looking out over towards the Little Aspen Bay. If you look to the left, you see all the trees and vegetation and so forth. There are other houses on that side of the street. And the subject house, the view of the bay is not through our house. It's really to the left of that. The deck really has no impact on anyone's use, enjoyment of their property, or their slate lines, or anything of that nature.
All right.
One other matter, Mr. Jester, could you describe what the difficulty would be in modifying this deck?
I'm not a contractor, but I have spoken with Mr. Fleetwood about it, and he actually. He's very familiar with the house, obviously, but he actually went out again today because he hadn't really looked at that part of it for 10 years, probably. He said, under a best-case scenario, depending upon what the extent of the changes had to be made, it could be several thousand dollars in materials, and if the posts were involved, which one or more, maybe even though that he did not change or move any of those posts that may be necessary to if there were any changes in the deck, that drives a significantly higher expense. But I don't even know fully without getting more involved with it. But it would be a major expense. And to alter it, to have a different configuration where everything would meet all the setbacks, may not be as pleasing to the eye as what is there now. And I guess our perspective on it is it's not causing any harm or interfering with anyone's use or enjoyment of their property, and it's probably the best of the alternatives, just to leave it as is.
I just wanted to also just briefly address the HOA's objection. We're certainly respectful of the HOA in this matter, as Mr. Jester mentioned. We just respectfully disagree with the concerns they noted. We do understand and are mindful of their concern in setting precedent, but I believe they've accomplished that through the objection that they've made here. I don't think anyone can come in and say that they waived it, as they've certainly express their concern. But again, just to summarize, the property, just the layout of the property is unique, and no matter what you do in modifying this, I don't know that there's a clean way to do it in light of the way the line moves in this. So I believe that goes to the first two elements. It certainly wasn't created by Mr. Jester or his family. Again, it was done by a contractor who, again, when you look at the survey, you can see how easily that mistake could have been made. It doesn't alter the character of the neighborhood. It's consistent with anything else that's out there. As I mentioned before, to the naked eye, nobody was aware of this, and we went 10.5 years without any issue with this. And what we're seeking is the bare minimum to make it compliant. So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll start, we'll see if I have any questions. I'm going to start with you, Mr. Rickards, first.
Well, you just hit me with HOA. I don't know why HOA would be upset about it. We've been there 10.5 years. I don't know if they were doing their job. They probably would have noticed it at 10.5 years ago. But anyway, 10.5 years, it's been there. The uniqueness of the lot is apparent of how the shape is, and I can readily see where there could be a two-foot here. Also the fact that the history shows that you've got all your permits. So that helps you right there, because you can substantiate that you did get permits for all your improvements and also for your dwelling. And I found something that was very interesting, that you, in February 1983, right, you took out a permit for your dwelling. And the assessor said it was worth $60,000. Can you believe that? That's unbelievable. And Mr. Lank's here, and I would say 76099. That's how long Mr. Lank's been with the county, 47 years. He probably remembers those numbers from permits that we would not know, permit numbers. But anyway, the typical, what you've done is typical. We've seen hundreds of them that go to settlement and the banks need, and they find out that they're encroaching concerns. So having said that, I would say that the it's not created by the applicant. You got a survey so that you could sell your home, and it will not alter an essential character of the neighborhood. As I have said, if it did, someone would have complained 10.5 years ago. And it's a minimum variance that would grant you relief. So having said that, I would say that I make a motion that...
Well, can the rest of us ask questions?
They got to ask questions first, please.
What's that?
They got to ask questions.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We also have to see if there's any opposition to Mr.
Yeah, I will. Okay. Okay. Mr. Workman.
No questions.
Okay. Mr. Hudson.
No questions.
Mr. Mills.
Yes. Mr. Jester.
Yes, sir.
It's obvious you got the permits. Did you get those permits, or did Mr. Fleetwood?
Mr. Fleetwood.
Okay. And do you know if certificates of occupancy were given for those permits when the work was completed?
You mean it with respect to the deck?
Yeah, wait, yes.
Right, not when the house was built. I believe when I called the county when I found out about this the day before settlement, and I think the gentleman I spoke to said that there was a building permit, but that there wasn't a certificate of occupancy. Correct, I didn't know what you required for it.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell, do you know if there were COs issued?
The CO is not required for this because it was a replacement of the decking. So it was a replacement only, and the computer system recognizes that a CO is not required.
Okay. And Mr. Jester, then, when Mr. Fleetwood told you that he could extend that, there was no question or no red flags went up about whether or not, you know.
Absolutely, because I was aware of the, you know, that with C-Town, they wanted to, when I applied for the, it was relatively informal process. They basically asked me to send them an email to tell them what we were going to do, and explain the email that we would do it within the setback requirements. And that's what I did. That's what I fully expected to do.
Sure.
And that's what I conveyed to Mr. Fleetwood. And I'm absolutely positive that that's what he tried to do.
Right.
And the circumstances just, he did an excellent job. He's done a lot of great work. Built a custom home for my dad 7 years ago, and it's a phenomenal job, but
And I understand. I just question why he would have suggested that, you know, and I see this survey is from this past November. Was there a survey for the property before this?
The last survey before that I'm aware of was in the 1980s.
Okay, and would Mr. Fleetwood have had access to that in doing the replacements or whatever?
I don't think he had access to it.
Okay. All right, no other questions.
All righty. Thank you. Mr. Up, do you have
just one. In looking at that last picture, it looks like there's a stake showing up there. Is that the edge of the property line?
Marsh grass.
Looks like there's a stake.
I think it is. That's the other thing that's confusing. I'll pop that back to you. I think there's a 14 foot, there's approximately 14 feet from the asphalt to the property line that's owned by the Homeowners Association. And so that is only trying to
kind of makes your front yard look bigger.
It makes it look a lot bigger. And it makes them, and somebody looking at the deck, you would never think that anyone would maybe take their way more than 30 feet away from the cul de sac.
Okay, thank you.
And they are from the cul de sac.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
I have no further questions. Thank you,
okay,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? One, two. Are there any persons here that are in opposition to this application? There's a one. Is that all I see? Sir, would you like to come up and be sworn in, please? You sit right down up front here. Okay. So you need to go up and be sworn in, if you would, please.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Fred Wetzelberger, 36782 Bayside Drive, Fenwick Island, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, and you're in opposition?
Yes, sir. I'm Fred Wetzelberger. I'm on the board of directors for the C-Town Homeowners Association, and they asked me to attend. The president couldn't, but sent a letter on behalf of the boards of C-Town regarding their objection.
Okay.
This is one of those unfortunate circumstances. I think Mr. Rickert mentioned it in his discussion, where you have a contractor that didn't comply with setbacks. I'm sure you're faced with that many times up here. The difference is here, this is a community of 42 homes, and we have our own set of architectural guidelines, which is important that we have uniformity and conformity throughout the neighborhood. The other issue I think the attorney discussed is the precedence, and there is some precedence here that, you know, we have honorable contractors and dishonorable contractors. We have good neighbors and we have bad neighbors. And so sometimes you have a situation where a contractor builds out because that's what the owner wanted him to do, whether it was a setback requirement or not. You know, the genesis of this is the application process was followed by the owner, which the association appreciated. And the architectural chairman at the time In the emails went back, and the email back from Mr. Jester was, all work will be done in code and within the applicable setbacks. So the owner agreed to the standards of the association of C-Town, that you comply with the county setback requirements. If you don't, and we put that in every approval, no matter what it is, because if you don't, we start having people building sheds and porches and you name it. We have height restrictions on, and it gets out of control. We have no way to control it. So we put that in all of our approvals. It's also telling that Mr. Jester in his email back said, we may extend the second floor deck by 1.5 to 2 feet. Now, that's not unusual for an owner to want to make their deck something else different. You know, this attachment, that email attachment's in the letter that Mrs. Cornwell read. Because you always want a bigger deck, particularly when he has a view of the bay there, so there's nothing wrong with that. We're not the police, though, of the permitting process with the county. We're not the police of the individual contractors. If we notice something, and we did litigate in this community where an owner built into the setback both a porch and a stair, and we litigated to have him remove it. In testimony, we found out that the owner told the contractor, I don't care that it's in there, put it there. The deck and the stairs were removed. So we as a homeowners association have enforced this particular issue to the fact of spending legal money to litigate it, to enforce the guidelines, how important, because it did affect the next door neighbor, it did affect sight lines, it affected the continual ability for the association to protect property values and enforce the guidelines that are a part of what makes us C-Town and what makes us unique. And that's what we're asking you to do here this evening for us again. It's unfortunate. Mr. Jester, his father, was a fantastic fellow and enjoyed this community and was an asset and a good neighbor to this community, as well as his son and his brothers and family. And it's unfortunate the contractor didn't comply with what is known. Now, it says the testimony was there's no CO on a deck. So then the burden does come down to the owner and the contractor to comply with what the county standards are. We're not out measuring decks to make sure that they comply. The guideline and the approval is based, and the owner agreed that it would conform to the setbacks. So the contractor should have had the original survey, or should have surveyed it himself, or should have made sure that he had it available. There hasn't been any complaints because we assume that the contractor and the owner is doing what they agreed to do. If it isn't obvious, particularly, the prior incident I mentioned is because the next door neighbor complained. He thought that the porch and the stairs were in the setback, and as it turned out, that they were. And so we pursued that to protect the guidelines of the association. You know, one of the interesting parts of the testimony was, I mean, this is a cul-de-sac. A cul-de-sac is not unusual. I mean, I'm a developer and a builder myself. When I run into a cul-de-sac, I know I have a different setback issue immediately, that I've got something different going on, and that needs to be inspected. This is not unusual. We have 3 cul-de-sacs in this neighborhood. So it's not unusual or unique to C-Town. Maybe in other areas it is, but it's not unique or unusual to C-Town. The testimony was there's plenty of other area that he could have built deck, and that's absolutely true. Plenty of area that he could have built deck around his house and expanded the deck. But as we all know, it's a lot easier just to square anything off and run with it. And that's exactly what happened here. The contractor squared it off and ran with it. And unfortunately, this is the first settlement of this house from the original owner. It's picked up in a survey, and we're all here tonight because of it. And I'm not saying anything about the contractor. I don't know him. But my experience says is that this is not unusual in this circumstance for this to happen. Just looking at my notes real quick here. You know, as we went down to the 5 criteria that we responded to, you know, say that it wasn't created by the applicant. I always disagree with this. I see this all the time. A contractor works for the applicant. The applicant's responsible for the contractor, particularly when there's not a CO pulled in this case. So the county doesn't come in and inspect and make sure it's done correctly or in the setbacks. So we have to count on the owner to supervise these applicants to make sure it's done correctly. And then the essential character of the neighborhood, the essential character of the neighborhood is that everyone complies with the county code and complies with the architectural guidelines. And that's what we ask you all to enforce tonight. And I think that's basically all my notes that I had from the testimony, but I appreciate your time.
All right, sir.
Can I ask you one question, sir?
Yes, sir.
So what you wanted him to do is take off 2 foot off the north side, wide, northeast side of the deck, and 1.6 tenths off the other side. Is that correct?
If that's the solution to conform to the setback, that would be what we would request.
Well, you want it in compliance. That's what he has to do.
Yes, sir. While I understand that seems like egregious, it wasn't a problem that the Homeowners Association or all the other owners that conform to the guidelines comply with in their applications and their requests. It's still not a mistake that C-Town made or anyone else in C-Town made other than this contractor working with this owner. And so if you're just talking about one house out there in the world, maybe this doesn't make a difference, but it's one house that's a part of a whole of 42. And once we get to the next point, look, we all know this. You know it better than I do. The next guy that builds 4 feet out into the setback and go, oh, my contractor did this, or, you know, my dog ate the homework. I'm here before you for the same thing. So what's the difference between 10 inches, 12 inches, 24 inches, 3 feet? I don't know.
Cost.
But that's, I understand that. It's not that we want the cost to be placed on the gestures who have been fine neighbors and good owners in the community. Mm-hmm. But it sets the precedent for us to have a more difficult time the next time this happens. And once it's set, the next attorney here will say, but this was approved. That's the first thing out of their mouth.
Well, we take each case individually.
I understand that.
Okay, just to make sure.
I understand.
Every time I hear precedents, we take each case as could, they could add 15.
Right. But you know better than I the appeal process and what happens at the appeal site. That's the judge is going to look at. That's the first argument they make on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So we just ask for your consideration. It was agreed to by the owner. The owner also referred to making an addition to the deck, which he had plenty of room to make an addition to that deck. But he extended it into an area that he should not. And I understand it could be an honest mistake. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying it's a mistake that shouldn't have been made.
So if the county approved it, you would pursue it further with your lawyer, right, into a civil suit?
I'm not saying that what we would do. I don't think we need to do that because I think this body has the ability to understand the statement of facts.
Yeah, well, we don't have the ability. We don't enforce your covenances. You know, we don't.
But then I would turn it back around and say, they shouldn't have the ability to come here. They should come to us first on a variance.
Yeah, that's something you have to talk with them about.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's right. We can get into the
sure
to all the subtleties of it.
Anyway,
we don't want to litigate it any more than they want to.
Okay.
Litigate.
The bottom line is that your position, HOA, is that you would like them to comply, which would mean adjusting their porch. Okay. Is
yes,
that
sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Sir, I got one question. Did you say you already had a complaint on that already?
That's no, right. It was another homeowner. It was another home in the community that built into the setback.
Someone else did it?
Yes, sir.
Or this guy did it?
No, it was another homeowner.
Oh, no, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I heard you say something about another...
Another homeowner, yes. Not Mr. Jester's home.
Okay.
But we were successful in having that setback violation removed.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair. I don't know if Mr. Mills or Mr. Hudson does, but looking at that tax map, is there any other property in the community that looks like that? And the reason I ask is because you were mentioning uniformity, yeah. And that one just looks different from the other one.
Can you scroll down?
I'm sure we could expand it.
So there's the center cul-de-sac. I mean, you know, you have different, you know, the one, can I walk up to the screen?
Mm-hmm, sure. Just try to speak close to the mic so we can catch you.
See how that is there? This here is similar to that curvature. And if you go up to the other end, you know, you've had the same thing here. I know this homeowner here had wanted to build out here, and they were going to run into some setback problems, so they put their thought process, their renovation process on hold. If you can go all the way into the back. So is it exactly the same as that? Say same thing here. You know, when he built his house here, he had some setback issues as it related to this. So he squared off. He just took the property and then squared off instead of coming out. He wanted to come out.
I guess
he has an ocean view from here, so he
understand take more advantage of that. I guess the question that I've got is, in looking at it, it looks like in that whole neighborhood, at best, there might be one other lot that has a shape that is similar to that. What's that?
To me, it appears there might be about five.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at ones that have that side street and the cul-de-sac, because there are several cul-de-sacs, but other than that one that appears to be just south of that one cul-de-sac there, yeah, right where that cursor is.
Yeah, this one here. Mm-hmm.
Most of the others appear to be either on a cul-de-sac, but not on the
side street. Right.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't know if there were others.
No,
thank
that's
you.
All right.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
Okay. Hearing none. No other opposition?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Chair will entertain a motion. You started the motion, Mr. Baker, so you want to?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we table this 11,894 to the next regular meeting.
Which will be January the 9th, 2017. Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Workman that we table case number 11,894 until our next regular meeting, which will be January the 9th, 2017. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Again, Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
And I'm Mr. Callaway. So by vote, 5-0, case number 11,894 is tabled until our next regular meeting again, which will be January the 9th, 2017. You may come if you would like, but the hearing will be closed and testimony will be, or you can do it on the internet. Okay, sir?